Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 154, part 2, Proud Self Asking Evil Questions. Today is Sunday. Happy 4th of July, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop at Pastor Paul's Mall online. Be sure to check out vonsgrocery.com. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, Twitter, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. So be sure to check out the online community at pastorpaul.org. You can email me, Janine, at pastorpaul.org. And at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find show notes with scripture links. So be sure to check those out and join us every week for part one on Friday and part two of Pastor Paul's messages. The conclusion is on Sunday. This month, the month of July, the lineup is the following: Proud Self Asking Evil Questions, Great Form But No Power, Are You a Believer in Seasons, So Weeping, Reap Rejoicing, Times of Fearing and Doubting. There you have it, the month of July. Hope you have a great summer. Be sure to join us every week here on Friday and Sunday for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
Now, after Mr. Evil Questioning was born, he went to school and his teachers named him Mr. Worldly Wise Man. And he teaches people from the book of humanistics: if it feels good, do it. And if you want an excuse to go to hell, Mr. Evil Questioning will furnish you with as many as you possibly could ever need. You that aren't born again, hear me now. You can also detect him because he uses logic in spiritual things that he would not use in temporal things. You will also ask questions against God. And another saying that you may know Mr. Evil Questioning with is, he always draws arguments from exceptions. Well, what if? This guy asked me years ago, he said, well, what come first, the chicken or the egg? And I thought on it, and I was a new babe in Christ, and I thought, boy, that's a hard one to answer. And it came to me just like this. God says, I made everything two by two, and thence came the egg. And I knew it was God because I just got into King James, and I didn't know whence and thence and all that. And then he says, well, if God is so great and so powerful and so wonderful, why does he make a stone so big he can't pick it up? I said, because he's not as dumb as you are. That would be ignorant. Do you think God is a man? Oh, are you hearing this message today? Exceptions to the rule. He'll see one miserable Christian and keep his eyes on that and miss a thousand happy ones. Well, I know a miserable Christian. Then he'll go out hunting this miserable Christian. He won't find him because the guy is so miserable he crawled in some kind of a rat hole someplace. Well, I'll find him. He's here someplace. And then, of course, old evil questioning is the father of a large family. Here's some of his kids. Mr. Doubt, Mr. Legal Life, Mr. Unbelief, Mr. Wrong Thoughts of Christ, Mr. Clip Promise, Mr. Carnal Sense, Mr. Live by Feeling, Mr. Self-Love. And now let's talk to the eldest of these sons, Mr. Doubt. Notice the resemblance here to the father. Finger on his face saying, well, half God said. Well, I don't know about that now. Remember, Mr. Doubt called one day at the tent of Sarah, and his father was with him, and Sarah said, shall I, who am 90 years old, have pleasure? I don't imagine that made her husband feel too good. Shall my breast afford nourishment for a child? Now here was evil questioning. And then Sarah laughed. See, Doubt handed her some satire. And Sarah laughed. And Mr. Doubt visits also, and visits us also, and has made cast doubts upon the promises. And he says something like this, how can it be true? Such a sinner as you, so weak, so vile, so unworthy. So you listening today, you unregenerated ones. Not regenerated yet. Don't let doubt rob you. You that are born again, don't let doubt rob you. Doubt is everywhere in the world. Drive them out! I used to be a doubt. I used to have doubts all the time. The Lord says, well, you're such a doubter. I'm going to give you something to doubt. Doubt, doubt. And every time doubt would come, I'd say, doubt, I doubt you. That took care of it. Because see, doubt is a spirit. Don't pamper him and feed him lest he... doubt starts to grow into despair. You start to feed doubt, and pretty soon you'll find yourself in despair. Down, spiritless. And you start to doubt the things of God, and you start to doubt his peace and his joy, and you start to doubt it. You start to doubt your ministry. You start to doubt everything. And pretty soon you're in despair. Don't keep on until you're in despair. But how can it be true? Are you hearing this? Let's demand him into the pit today. Doubt, I command you into the pit. I command you to stay there in that pit. And then there's Mr. Clip a Promise. He does not doubt the promise, but he clips the edges of it. He believes part of the promise will be fulfilled, but not all of it. That's like this check I got here, this promissory note. And it's written out for, you know, millions of dollars. Well, I can't believe for that much, so I just clip a corner of it. You know what? That's no good down there. Not one bit, that little clip of promise. Then I take my scissors, and well, here's a bigger guy in faith. He takes a little shot at it here. Well, I can believe for that much, and this guy a little bigger. And he can believe for that much, and she can believe for that much, and he can believe for that much. And, well, I believe God can do a work on the north side if this and if that and if this and if that. And maybe God won't use me or so on like that because this what? Hey. Now you better pick up all those little pieces and put them back together again, or you better ask God for a brand new spirit. Because that's not the spirit of God. That's Mr. Clip-a-Promise. It's one of the kids of Mr. Pride. Because you might be shown that you're wrong. You might not work out, and so you become fearful and doubtful. And next, there is Mr. Wrong Thoughts about Christ. And he says, Jesus Christ won't save you. Jesus Christ will save you. Simply by believing. All people that are born again need to hear that all the time, too. Simply by believing. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. Now let's look at a couple of twins. This is a two-headed monster if you want. Mr. Legal Life and Mr. Live by Feelings. Mr. Life tells you to judge yourself. Nicodemus, it says in 3 and 16, it talked about Nicodemus came at night. He brought the Bible about that serpent that would went, and Jesus told him, you must be born again. But the serpent was head up in the wilderness. Jesus became that serpent. I wonder when he said that, and he said, well, you're talking about something evil. You're talking about, wow. He says, yes, when I am high and lifted up, you believe that, and you'll be born again. I will be seeing the world mind. I'll be cut off a stick. And my flesh will have to be nailed to the cross. Now you believe on that, just like the serpent was held up in the wilderness, and you shall be saved. It's simple. Won't you do it? And here's this man with all this wisdom and all this knowledge and all this legal keeping of the law. It didn't do him one single solitary bit of good because he had to look on the Lord Jesus Christ just like they had to look on the serpent that was held up in the desert and they would be saved. But Mr. Legal Life says, judge yourself. He says, live by legal evidences like the Pharisees. Outward form and ritual and waving of smoking cups and great big tall corny looking hats and gowns that are so heavy that you got to put some kind of a hydraulic in there to hold them up. Are you hearing this? Live by your works. Well, faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. Let's hang these two today. Let's string them up. Got any last words, boys? You'll pay for this, Mr. Legal Puss says. You're going to feel rotten after you do this to me, says Live by Feelings. Wicked witch from the West. And next comes Mr. Carnal Sense. Lean ye not, the Bible says, upon your own understanding. And then lastly comes Mr. Self-Love. You're going to need a lot of help with this one. It kills everybody and everything to have its own way. It will connive and cheat and do anything to have that self-love, to have people come. It's a sort of a god. It's something that must be fed and something that must be babied and coddled and lifted up all of the time. And the Bible tells us drop dead. How many times are we like the old cowboy movie? You ever seen the old movies when they didn't have any reason? They would shoot behind these rocks, and they had like, 150 bullets in each one of their six shooters. Bam, ba bam, bam, ba bam, bam, ba bam, bam, ba bam, 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 ba bam, 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 ba bam, bam, bam. You know, and they'd shoot this guy, and he was in some kind of a saloon or something, and it took him forever to die. And that's how they used up the footage of the film. And he'd reel around, he'd hit the counter, and then he'd fall, and then he'd lay there, and then you'd see one foot come up from behind the counter, boop, and then up, then he'd roll over, and he'd get up again, and he'd and then this is like the fights they have. And then he'd hit this guy and that guy, and then he'd go back, and then they're hitting this other guy, and I thought, this is not realistic. If you hit a man in the face like that, he would just die. You'd split his nose wide open, and they're going for like 15 minutes like that. Won't die. Oh, how self-love will not die. Well, how about Mr. Unbelief? There's a word for Mr. Unbelief. Only believe. All things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Oh, I'm believing for a move down here. Oh, my God, I want it. There's a move down here, and there's got to come a new spirit in this old pastor. Say amen, somebody. There's got to come a drive. I don't have it right now. There's got to come a drive, and there's got to come a zeal, and there's got to come a commitment that probably people won't even understand. There's got to be some kind of a driving force. The Lord's got to fill me with it. Only believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved right now. You're listening on the radio. It is the only way. And old proud self must go. You listen to this radio program. Listen to this tape. Maybe you're in here today. Let old proud self go. Jesus will forgive every sin. Every sin. Past, present, and future. Oh, don't say that. Don't say. I'm saying it, and I said it, and I'm glad. Say amen. Aren't you glad for that? Well, you're just telling people that they can go out and wantonly and openly say, no, I'm telling you a truth, that the blood of Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world was a lamb slain for sinners. That is the message that you must preach, not doubt, not condemnation, but you must give people that free gift and then be an example of that free gift that you give. And how do you do that? By the grace of God. Not by yourself. Don't ever think that you can go out and give the grace. I'm full of grace, and I will give away my grace. Hey, you haven't got it. Your own grace will give people knuckle sandwiches every time after about 4 minutes of their nonsense. It's the grace of God that you have to give away. You have to pray to be filled with it every day. We don't have it. It's the grace of God. It's all grace. How many in your walk have found out it's all the grace of the Lord? Oh, man. In Psalm 138:6, though the Lord be high, listen, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. And then he goes on. But the proud he knoweth from afar off. He doesn't get too close to the proud ones. You know why he doesn't get too close? There is a very peculiar odor to them. They do not have the sweet fragrance of the Lord. Now here we have God, the very highest, the greatest in dignity and power, and yet he respects the very lowly. That's what he sat with when he came here. He views them with pleasure, and he sits with them, and he's down there on the hobo bus with them. That's why you feel the presence of the Lord down there, Jim, because God is down there on that hobo bus. He thinks of them with care. He listens to their prayers, and he protects them from evil. You know why? Because they think little of themselves. He thinks much of them. They are low. The Bible tells us that, to have a beggarly poor spirit. Contrite, it says, heart. Do you ever have a contrite heart? It's sort of like a stricken of your heart. It's kind of like when you're laying down and you just feel, and the world says it, wasted. You ever felt like that? How many of you felt wasted in your life? Sometime in your life, totally wasted. That's good. You know what? God will speak to you when you're wasted, like you're laying there all dust. If somebody come up and kicked you, you go poof, like a dirty old vacuum cleaner bag. They are low in their own esteem, and so he makes them to feel high in his esteem. But it says, the proud he knoweth from afar off. He doesn't have to come near to see their vanity. I saw this show on there, on Custer, and it showed this fellow that was trying to kill him or something like that. Showed him in the tent, and this guy came up with a knife. Here he was twisting on his mustache and curling his hair and eyebrows just right. Huh? And he thought so much of himself that he thought that whatever this guy would tell him, he would do the opposite, and that's how he got killed. He was wise in his own understanding. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Now when you get real prideful, it seems like God isn't around. You know that? When you get wise in your own understanding, it's like God isn't around. You don't have to answer every evil question that comes your way. Be humble. Just sit there and humble yourself. Don't say too much. Just sit there. Well, you might add something like, very interesting. Just walk away. All right. Very interesting. And just walk away. Don't receive it. Well, receive enough so that you can check yourself out, but then it's just very interesting. And don't you worry about it in these end times. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of evil questions coming your way. Preacher, are you hearing me on the radio? A lot. And all over. Preachers all over and churches all over are having their problems. Why? Because evil question is coming. How about these churches are spending all this money and so on like that? And I seen down there and this and so on and like that. And they're writing books about one another. Comes to you with an evil question about one of these men of God or Billy Graham or anything. They're all suffering. They're all asking them evil questions. Tell them, you know what? This is very interesting, but shut up. We have to learn how to do that, don't we? Say amen, somebody. See, God abhors this kind of action. Hates it. To Cain's sacrifice, to the Pharaoh's promise, to Rabshakeh's threat, and to the Pharisee's prayer, the Lord has no respect. Nebuchadnezzar was afar off, wasn't he? He's afar off from God. When he cried out, behold this great Babylon which I have builded. Look at it. But you see, the Lord knew him and sent him eating grass with the cattle. Oh, God. Oh, you proud men listening now. Listen to it. Boasting loudly of their culture and their freedom of thought. Oh, I don't want to have a lot of freedom in my thinking. They even dare to criticize their maker. Bible says, but he knows them from afar off and will keep them at arm's length in this life and shut them out up into hell and out into hell in the next. How many are here? Let me close it. Mr. Proud Self, we hang you by the neck until dead. We run you through with the sword, and to make sure you are really buried, we'll bury you under Mr. Evil Questioning and all of his nasty little kids. And so here we have the story in 2 Kings 5. about a man that was full of pride that had to walk up into this river and walk in. Why did he have to walk into the River Jordan? He had to take his prideful self and he had to take off all of these coverings and all these things with all these sores and festers and pus and everything running out, balding here and balding there, and this great huge warrior with his feet and toes rotting off, and pieces of his ear hanging down. He had to uncover all this and take all the bejeweled bandages off and have everybody point at him, and he had to walk into the river. Why did he have to go in 7 times? Because he had 7 faults. 7 little kids, 7 little fruit of pride. He went down once, and I'm going to crawl in this great big tub. It's kind of cold, but I'm going to crawl in anyway. You listening on the radio, I'm crawling into this huge tub of water. Use your imagination. Boy, is it ever cold. I'm up to my knees now, walking down the steps, and I'm up to my waist. You had to go under 7 times, and I'm going to go under. First, we're going to drown, and pride is done because pride came to the water. That's all you have to do is come to Jesus and leave your pride. Now I'm going to dip myself. Firstly, I'm going to go under. Whew, that's cold. Mr. Doubt. And I come up and I can barely see you out there. The water's all over and my hair is hanging in my eyes. Now I'm going to go down the second time. Woo, that's cold. Mr. Legal Wife goes down. Thirdly, Mr. Unbelief. Now Mr. Wrong Thoughts About Christ. It's cold. Turn the heat on. Now Mr. Carnal Sense. Woof! Mr. Live By Feelings. Feelings. Feelings like I never have. And now Mr. Self-Love. He's hanging on to the sides of this great big tub for all he's worth. Ooh, I'm not going to go down, please. Please, Mr. Coster, I don't want to, huh? He's hanging on for dear life. He doesn't want to go under. Oh, God, God, don't let me go. No, people will see me going. Oh, God, my great ministry, my great this, my great that. Will people ever think, please? Oh, no. I promise I'll die, only just don't put me on. Oh, no! Want to throw me that towel, son? Thank you. I'm just drying myself off up here. And I'll leave the radio audience with this thought. Leave them with this thought about evil questioning. Next time you start to ask all them evil, proud self starts to ask all them evil questions about why this God and why that God and God, do I have to do this and so on like that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Whew. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You need Jesus as your personal Savior. It's a simple message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Oh, how we love to complicate that message and how we like to add innuendo and how we like to add a little evil question. Will he really save you if you say that? Yes, he'll really save you if you say that. Is there anyone here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Well, don't be afraid. Just lift up your hand. Going to church and doing all these things and urn swinging and the candle burning and catechisms and whatever that doesn't get you saved. Believing in Mormonism, believing in all these things won't get, is a simple message. Look onto Jesus Christ and be saved. Today, maybe you're having some kind of a problem. Look onto the Lord and be saved out of that problem. Nobody can do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. You got eyes. Use those eyes and look onto the Lord. He'll take you out of that problem. Maybe he's talking to somebody right now. Hey, look to me. Don't look to man. Don't look to people. Look to me. Maybe you're sitting here today and you got that. Whew. How many heard this message today? Standing here wringing wet. Did you know that you do a lot of seeing through your ears? Somebody says something and you pick up and you get a whole visual picture in there. Huh? And sometimes you just hear a little piece of a word and you build on that whole thing. It's an evil question. I wonder where so-and-so is. Ooh. Huh? And you build a whole picture on a person because you heard it through your ears. You heard it through the grapevine. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as a person? It's a simple message. So if you're here,